I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Five years ago, South Korean golfer In-kyun Kim had a short 30-centimeter putt on the final hole to win the Kraft Nabisco Championship. She missed it. After the ball unbelievably lipped around the cup, Kim went to a playoff with compatriot Yoo Sun-young and lost. This year, she had a six-shot lead heading into the final round at the Women's British Open at King Barnes, Scotland. The day began early despite a mid-afternoon tea time.
I've been just waking up at 5:30, and then my physio, Adam, was telling me, don't get up at 5:30. And this morning, I woke up at 4:30. And then I look at the weather, and sunrise is at 5:16, so it's a perfect time to look at the sunrise.
And then a little shopping.
Yeah, I'm staying with my friend. They had a store right next to it, and today they're open for public. So I went there and take videos and things like that.
What did she buy?
I bought some hats for my dad and his friends. So it was quite a easy morning, yeah.
And to set up her eventual two-shot victory over England's Jody Ewart-Chatoff.
I think I had one of the best warm-up this week, so that kind of gave me quite confident. But I think the wind was blowing differently, and I wasn't hitting the ball as close. That I didn't have many makeable putts, but I did as well as I could with what I had today, I think.
The 2010 LPGA Rookie of the Year now has 10 professional wins and, finally, a major. While IK Kim had a good final round warm-up, Japan's Hideki Matsuyama didn't.
I was terrible on the range this morning. Not just my full shots, but my chipping, putting, everything was terrible. Then I hit a bad opening tee shot, but somehow I was able to get it up and down, made par there, and everything else fell into place.
So much so that he scorched the Firestone course in Akron, Ohio with a record-tying 61 to win the Bridgestone Invitational, a World Golf Championship event. That bad practice steered Matsuyama's shots when they counted.
Maybe having a bad warm-up helped because I wasn't sure where the ball was going, and so I was just playing for the middle of the greens, you know, just the safe spot, and it seemed to work well today.
American Zach Johnson finished a distant second, five shots back.
Very bittersweet. I think that morsel is definitely sweeter than bitter, in the sense that everything's good. Everything's clicking.
Overall, there was very little Johnson didn't like about his play.
I hit the shots that needed to happen. I just didn't make the putts. If given the opportunity to put more pressure on him, who knows what would have happened, but I needed to do more of that earlier. Tip the hat, shake his hand. Very impressive.
Matsuyama was thrilled to card a 61 for his third win this year and tie the course record shared with three other players, all major tournament winners. American Tiger Woods, Spaniards Jose Maria Olazabal, and Sergio Garcia.
I've never shot a 61 in a tournament before, and then to do it here at Firestone Country Club, and then 4 years ago to watch Tiger, I played with him when he shot his 61, and to do the same thing I just can't believe it.
Japanese players have a total of 10 wins all time on the PGA Tour. Matsuyama has five of those. Will he win a major? Many think so, and Johnson is certain he'll rise to the top again.
He's won a lot of golf tournaments in the last year or two, and my guess is he'll win a lot more.
Australia's National Basketball League, the NBL, will play three preseason games in the United States with teams from the National Basketball Association. The Brisbane Bullets, Melbourne United, and Sydney Kings will be the first NBL clubs to face off with their NBA counterparts, Utah Jazz, Oklahoma City Thunder, and Phoenix Suns in October. The NBL, approaching its 40th season, has eight teams, seven in Australia, one in New Zealand. CEO Jeremy Lohliger says the preseason games follow years of discussions and should provide a big boost to professional basketball in Australia.
Oh, I think it will boost the image considerably if we can go toe-to-toe and be at least competitive. And that's one of the single most important parts of this for me, is that it gives us the opportunity to show to the rest of the world just where we are in terms of standard and the level of our competition. The NBA are pretty good at assessing the level of competition around the world. I'm fairly confident that they wouldn't have invited us to come and play these games if they didn't think we were up to the challenge. And while I don't think Russell Westbrook and Paul George will be playing the full 48 minutes, I do think we'll be able to go the full distance and be competitive. And if that's the case, then it will do absolute wonders for the image of Australian basketball around the world. But from my point of view, probably more importantly here in Australia, it's the second most popular sport in terms of participation here in Australia. We exist in a very competitive sporting landscape where various different football codes certainly dominate the commercial landscape, and we're just trying to eke out a bit of headspace in that landscape. And hopefully if we can show Australians here that we are competitive against an NBA team, then hopefully they'll sit up and pay attention.
Well, Jeremy, surprising to some, eight Australian players are on NBA rosters.
And some of them have been performing really well, and some of them have signed fantastic contracts this year as well. I mean, you look at Joe Ingles and Dante Exum at the Utah Jazz. Joe's just recently, having signed his contract, I think, 10 days ago, become the highest-paid Australian athlete ever in any sport, which is a fantastic achievement. Paddy Mills wasn't far behind him at the San Antonio Spurs. You've got Andrew Bogut, who we're all hoping will make it back onto a roster after a terrible broken leg last season. I think only less than a minute into his career with the Cavs, which was unfortunate. But then you've got the young stars coming through as well, like Thon Maker at the Bucks, who's teamed up with Matthew Dellavedova there, and it's a great combination. And then, of course, Ben Simmons, born here in Melbourne. We're all waiting for him to take the court with the 76ers, and we all want to see exactly what he's capable of.
Jeremy, we know about Yao Ming and others as basketball has become quite big in China. Is it spreading elsewhere in Asia?
Oh, absolutely it is. It's big in China. It's by far the biggest sport in the Philippines. And then there are some really exciting emerging markets like India. Of course, the NBA now has an academy in India. We're spending quite a bit of time working with various stakeholders there as well to help them develop their basketball industry, and we hope to see talent from around Asia come and play in our league. We had three players from China last year. We've already had one Indian player signed this year, and we're pursuing a few others. So yes, it's certainly growing. Asia is now the biggest basketball economy in the world, and it is only going to get bigger.
As for basketball in Australia, Jeremy Lohliger said the NBL will take expansion carefully, making sure all teams are competitive. But his vision is to internationalize the league, perhaps negotiating with the China Basketball Association for a representative Chinese team based in Australia, something he said would change the sporting landscape in Australia significantly. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.